Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Sobering news, I guess, is the way to put it, but thankfully everything is fine. But LaMarcus Aldridge, the Nets center, perennial all-star with the Portland Trailblazers and the San Antonio Spurs, announced today abruptly, Rob, that he was retiring. It shocked everybody, but he had an irregular heartbeat. And he said when they played the Lakers last weekend that he really was afraid. He felt the feeling he had in his heart was really scary for him. And so he decided to hang it up. And I'm thankful that he's done this before anything, you know, tragic happened. And I'm also thankful for this, Rob. Not that this is ever a good time for something like this to happen, but he had a career, like a full career. He's 35
right, he wasn't
years
cut
old.
Short, right.
Right. Right. Wasn't like his, remember his teammate Brandon Roy, who got injured with the knee injuries and never was able
and had to bow out.
Yep. Another Blazer, Greg Oden, never got to really have a career. So LaMarcus had 15 years, seven times made the All-Star team, five times made All-NBA. So he's had a full career, didn't get that championship, but to be honest, Rob, this would have been nice for him to win a title. It wasn't going to change his legacy.
No, not at all.
You know what
all.
I mean?
Not at all.
Yeah, right. It wasn't like he was going to lead them and or even be the second guy. So congratulations to him on a great career. And you know, thankfully, he's safe, and hopefully that'll remain the case.
Yeah. It definitely is one of those things where we were wondering what was going on. Right. Where he missed the two games, Chris, and then they said it was not COVID-related, so you're trying to figure out. You don't remember seeing him fall or hurt himself, right, during the game,
right.
So you couldn't figure out, like, what was going on. So now this makes a lot of sense. But you always have to look out for yourself and think about your family and your future. Obviously, it would be crazy to say, well, let me try to finish out the season or play around or, you know, no. That you're right. Not doing that. He's a young guy. He's got a long life to live. And to try to eke out a few more games or something, you know what I mean, would be ridiculous. He did
right.
the right
Enjoy
thing.
Enjoy your life, brother. Man, you like
got
you said,
he
got all
go.
The money he could ever think about. Got a family, so enjoy your life. I don't think, Rob, not to belittle him, because I think he would have helped him. He had turned into a stretch five. So I think he would have been valuable in that regard for the Nets. But I don't think this hurts their chances of winning the championship at all. DeAndre Jordan, who wasn't playing when Aldridge came, Aldridge became the starter and Jordan was getting DMPs. But now, like you said, he jumps in. And he's probably better suited to guard Andre Drummond of the Lakers and Joel Embiid of the Sixers. You know, than Aldridge is anyway. So I thought he did a pretty good job, even though Aldridge or Embiid had, what, 39 and 13 last
right,
night.
Right,
but
I mean,
he made
he's
going to
get his. Right, right.
Right. So, yeah, so I think they're still fine. They got depth galore. Nick Claxton has played well for him, too.
He really has come along, Chris. I'm watching this kid, and he's pretty good. And
yeah.
You know what I like, too, for a big guy? He makes his free throws. You know what I mean? Like, you can't
right.
just, like he's a liability. Every time you touch the ball, you foul him or whatever. He makes free throws. So,
right,
so
right.
That's in the playoffs, you got to have guys who make free throws.
I'm going to throw this at you, Rob. This might be a doozy. Is LaMarcus Aldridge a Hall of Famer?
Let me clear my throat. No way, no how. Everybody in this world thinks that everybody should be a Hall of Famer. Didn't we just have this with Edelman just the other day. Oh, yeah, Edelman. He's a Hall of Famer. Oh, yeah, Edelman. No, he's not. And neither is LaMarcus
Aldridge. I think Aldridge is more of a Hall of Famer than Edelman. But
right. I would say that. But even then, he had a really good career, Chris. You know what I mean? Like, very good career.
Right, right.
The NBA story easily can be told without him.
Gosh.
He didn't win an MVP. You know,
the Western Conference story can be told without him.
Exactly.
The story of the 2000s, 2010s, you know what I mean?
When
he
played
Boston Creek, can be told without him.
Footnote that you would have about him is when he went to San Antonio, which was different for them, signing like a bigger free agent when he went.
Right.
That was it.
But story doesn't end well. Because, I mean, he played okay, but he didn't give
him
okay.
He wasn't the guy that you thought he was going to be. I agree. I totally agree. So I don't think he's close to a Hall of Famer. We need to stop this prisoner of the moment and wanting to give everybody induction into the Hall of Fame because their career's over. Where'd this come from?
Nah, I'm with you, Rob. And look, again, you said it, but it bears repeating. LaMarcus Aldridge had a very good career. A very good career. He was a perennial All-Star. He's seven-time All-Star. Five times he made the All-NBA team. For his career, he averaged 19 points and 8 boards. He was very good. But as our friend Skip Bayless, Rob, would say, it's not the Hall of Very Good. I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge, to me, he didn't put his imprint on the game, on the league in any way. And that's what I think of with a Hall of Famer, like the impact. And people want to point to the 5 All-NBA team. Rob G thinks he's a Hall of Famer. You know, Rob G thinks Talen Horton Tucker's about to become the next Damian Lillard, too. But that's neither here nor there. But Rob G pointed out, 5 All-NBA. Look, we know this era that Aldridge played in, nothing against him, Rob, the big men are watered down. Am I right? Like, look at some of the other all-NBA players of the era that Aldridge made. Al Jefferson made an all-NBA team. DeAndre Jordan's made 3 all-NBA teams. Ain't nobody thinking about him as a Hall of Famer. 3 all-NBA teams. I mean, DeMarcus Cousins made some all-NBA teams. He's not getting anywhere near Springfield without a ticket. So, I'm sorry. Aldridge was great, but there's no way. Chris Webber's not in the Hall of Fame. He was better than LaMarcus Aldridge.
There you go. You can end the conversation right there, Chris. What else? You can end the conversation right there. And it don't look like Chris Webber's getting in.
Yeah, he might not. And he's close. You know who else? You know, honestly, Rob, this is close. And he won't make the all. I don't think he'll make an all the Hall of Fame. I'm almost positive he won't. Rasheed Wallace.
Right.
You can make an argument he was better than LaMarcus Aldridge. He carried those Blazers teams for a while. Like, he was the number one guy. They never got to the finals, but they did get close when they lost to the Lakers in that game 7. He was their guy. And then he goes to Detroit and
He was the missing piece. You know that,
right,
Chris. That was the piece that solidified that team and helped them win a championship. Rasheed Wallace, who I got to see up close play. That dude was – if you were picking sides, Chris, you want that guy on your team. I don't care what anybody says.
Rob, he doesn't have the accolades of Aldridge.
He only made
4 All-Star teams, never was all NBA. So you got that for Aldridge over him. If I had to pick a team, I'd take Rasheed over Aldridge.
Am I right? In a minute.
There's no doubt. I would take Rasheed over Aldridge. And so I just don't see it. Kevin Love, some of the names people are throwing out, Chris Bosh. You know what? I think Bosh might have been slightly better than Aldridge, but that's a fair comparison. Rob, Bosh will probably get in, but it's because he teamed up with LeBron and Wade and became a part of an all-time great trio. That's why I think. And that guys get in. Like, Draymond's going to get in because he was a key player on a super team, right? like a great team. No, that right. happens with
but
some
that,
guys.
That, yeah, that he'll get in because they won so much, the 73 wins.
Right.
But just on his own stats or whatever, he wouldn't get in.
No.
Not like
that. Dennis Johnson made it with the Celtics. Was great, won the title in Seattle, but probably because he was a great part of that great team, right?
Had that big steal, right? And basket.
Yeah.
Bird had the steal.
From Isaiah.
And Dennis Johnson scored the basket. Remember that?
Or Bird got the steal. Yeah, Dennis.
Right.
DJ.
Right.
Hit
Bird,
the
Bird had the steal, and Dennis Johnson laid it up. It was Chris, I could remember that game as if it was yesterday.
Oh, I know. Were you in Detroit?
I was working in New York.
Right.
And I wasn't covering that game, but I was watching on television. I was an NBA writer, but I was watching. And I was laying in bed watching a little 12-inch deal, you know what I mean? Like,
yep, yep.
And I could not believe that. I just could not believe that.
Yeah, I'm with you because I was doing the same thing, watching it on television. I mean, that was 87?
Something like that.
It was 87.
Yep.
So I would have been in college. And, yeah, I was a big Isaiah Thomas fan. And I wasn't a Celtics fan by any stretch of the imagination.
I just remember
so I
going,
Detroit
oh, my God.
Because
the Larry Bird thing was just, you know, at a fever pitch.
Absolutely.
So for him to steal the ball, you know.
Right.
Like,
well, also, Rob, was that the series when was that the series when Isaiah and Rodman criticized Bird?
It might have been.
Yeah.
It might have been. Because it might have come after that game, actually.
You're right.
Because that was the whole talk. They went crazy about Bird. If you remember, the conversation was all about Bird. And I think that's what got Dennis Rodman worked up. It might be. Because you might be off with the timing, but I think that was it.
Yeah, you might. If that's the case, then that was definitely, and I'm sure Isaiah, he might not admit it, but that was the worst day of Isaiah Thomas's career.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Our next guest, he was a very good NBA coach, and you may see him on the sidelines again in the future. But he also, when he was coaching in Memphis, did a great job there, had one of the great lines of the last several years from a coach.
We wear it out every chance we get.
We do.
Take that for data.
And the desk slap just seals it.
Yes.
So this is our man, David Fizdale. Fizz, what's up, man?
Explain it to me.
What's up, guys? Good to talk to you.
Hey, man,
yes,
how
sir.
Much do people bring that up to you often?
Man, you will be surprised. I could be eating at a nice restaurant or, like, I could be out somewhere and somebody will just slide by me and be like, hey, take that for that. And I just fall out. I'm like, man, yeah. I'm like, people are nuts, man. I'm like,
you
hey,
know what?
I tell them, pick up my check. Take that.
Yeah, right. Take that for
data. Take that for data.
Take that for
data. Take that for data in American Express. How about that?
I hear you. Now, Fizz, we've seen you all over doing media. Do you want to get back into coaching adventure? Or are you liking this media thing? We've seen like a Jeff Van Gundy basically make a whole second career out of this. Do you kind of see that, or would you like to get back into coaching?
Well, I definitely would like to get back into coaching. But I think, unfortunately, the circumstances of COVID and when it hit, and then me having a newborn during that time, it's just really made me sit still for a minute. And I'm actually enjoying the TV stuff. I'm learning a lot. I mean, you guys do it, and Chris, you're as good as they get. I mean, it's right. not just you walk on there and just know how to do it. Like, it's stuff that goes into it and how to deal with topics and address topics and things like that. And so, you know, I'm enjoying the learning process, actually, and kind of starting from scratch and, you know, learning from really talented people in a different craft. And so, you know, at some point that will be a thing that I will probably end up permanently doing. But, you know, in the near future, I'd like to get back into coaching.
Great. And congratulations on the birth of your child.
Yes.
That's great.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Mazel tov.
He's been fun.
That's awesome. Talking about some NBA stuff, and I guess we could talk about that Nets 76ers game. The Nets didn't have most of their star players in that contest. Fizz, what is that? You know, we had Eddie House on. He said that was the Nets basically not wanting to show their hand or show them what they got. Is that how it's done? Like, you don't want to – you don't play your big guys in a game like that? It just seems strange that it could be wind up being a tiebreaker at some point, you know, that game, but yet they didn't feel compelled to have to play that game.
Well, I think I've seen it done multiple ways. You know, what Eddie is saying is definitely something I've seen done before, where coaches strategically may keep a guy here or there out. But I think also, you know, in today's NBA, I think sometimes, you know, they just mark a date and say, we're going to keep guys out because we got to keep, you know, we got to make it through this whole season. And I think if you look at what's been happening through the injuries and things like that, I think teams are starting to be a lot more cautious about how they push their guys and when they push them and, you know, all of those things. And so I think it could definitely be a combination of both. But I think Eddie makes a valid point. Maybe they don't want to tip their hand. But at the end of the day, you know, both teams will be showing something at that point. And no one's really hiding anything or have any big secrets. So
right, that's what I was thinking.
You know, you're gonna know your opponent pretty well by the time you get to the end.
Fizz, I've picked Brooklyn. Both Rob and I picked Brooklyn to win it. They got so much talent, and they've looked good. You know, Harden's just orchestrating at the point guard position so well that everything seems to fit together. But I got to be honest, man. I'm scared about this pick because Steve Nash even said it last night. They may not have their whole team for the rest of the regular season. And to go into the playoffs with your big three playing maybe 10, 12 games together, maybe it'll be 8 or 9. It just seems like that we know that's completely unprecedented for a team to do that and win a championship. And you were in Miami with the big three in that first year, you know, they didn't win it. Nope. Do you think it's possible that the team can play so little together and win a championship in the NBA?
This year, I believe that can happen. I just think that everything that we're seeing in the last 2 years really is unprecedented when it comes to how a season is played, the moves that have been made, the injuries, how COVID has affected games played. And so in such a unique season where you see, like, we don't know how teams are going to really end up at the end, but they got super talent. The Lakers are super talented, right? They got big-time players, but they're banged up. You know, Brooklyn goes through their rotation of, you know, two guys on, one guy off, and sometimes it's just one guy on, two guys off, and those guys aren't playing together. But you know, when you get all that talent on the floor, they're a monster. Hell, they're a monster when you don't have all of that talent on the floor. So I just think that with such a unique season and the way that teams have had to really Navy SEAL it, right? They just land in some place and they go play, and whoever's available is got to go get the job done. And I think that's helping teams in some ways, and I think all the teams have had to face it. And I would rather be the team that has all the talent dealing with that circumstance than a team that's just holding on by a thread who has a very low margin for error.
How about the MVP race? Obviously, a lot of guys have been hurt this year. So, you know, Embiid is playing great since he came back, but he missed over 20 games. And LeBron was playing well. People were talking about him for a while. He got hurt. You know, Harden was playing great. He got hurt. I mean, who would you – if you had to pick somebody right now, who would you pick to be your MVP?
Oh, right now, to me, it's the Joker. I think Jokic is the guy, and I think – again, I think this will be an MVP most likely decided on the war of attrition. And, you know, if he can stay on the court, knock on wood, like all of these guys, I mean, Giannis, everybody has gotten the bug. I think if he can stay on the court, and now he's going to be asked to do more without Jamal Murray running around out there, I think statistically it's going to be tough to beat him because he's just filling up that stat sheet every single night in every single way. Right. And, you know, when you're missing 20 games and you're dealing with a guy that's constantly filling up the numbers like that, that's tough to catch. And so right now he's the guy for me.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Fizz. Let me ask you this last thing about the Lakers. Now, we know they got LeBron and AD coming back at some point, and then Andre Drummond's there. LeBron, for the most part, and I'd say even AD as well, both of them, for the most part, have not really played with a dominant post guy, somebody that's going to be on the block, you know, clogging up the lane, and they kind of like that lane wide open. Do you think that's going to be an adjustment for LeBron and AD, but particularly LeBron?
I don't, because I don't feel like Drummond is just a guy who's just going to go stand in the paint. Drummond's a pick-and-roll player. That's his number one gift, is setting pick-and-rolls and getting to the rim. Playing below the free-throw line when other guys are creating plays, and now you take a body off of him and he's on the glass, or he's getting a drop-off pass with dunks and things like that. And then I think he's a post-up guy. And so what I've always seen when guys of Drummond's talent level get to a team where they have guys like LeBron and AD, they fall in line. And they understand, like, this may be my only shot to win a title. These guys have done it. I need to play my role and do the things that really helps this team. And luckily for him, Dwight Howard was a perfect example. Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee were perfect examples of what the Lakers were missing when those guys left, right? A rim roller, shot changer, shot blocker, you know, just a presence, an offensive rebound, dominant offensive rebounder, things like that. And so adding him, if he can just be that for them and not try to be more for his ego, but just be more for the team, I think it's going to work out just fine.
So quickly, who's your pick? Brooklyn, the Lakers, or somebody else to win it all?
I don't like you at all right now.
You know we got to put you on the spot.
Welcome to the media, man.
That's right. No fence sitting here on the Odd Couple.
I think I know who you're going with. I think I know who your heart is with.
Well, here's the thing. So before I say my thing, I just want to preface it with this. We just talked about all these guys banged up, so I'm putting that out there first. But I'm going to say this. Just to be different than y'all, I'm going Lakers with health.
Lakers with health. All right.
So that means it ain't happening.
I knew he was going with LeBron. I knew he was going.
It's more than that. I think the Lakers have two guys that really cause matchup problems. Like, they can pound at Brooklyn. I really believe that. Although Brooklyn can run and shoot and fast and all of that, and I think Lakers can play some of that game, where I think Lakers really get teams is that LeBron and AD are such tough matchups versus the switch. And, you know, at the end of the day, though, you know, I just want to see those two teams go at it.
Right.
I like Philly too, but I just don't know if Philly will have enough to overcome all of that firepower that Brooklyn is putting on the floor.
That's our man, David Fizdale, former NBA head coach. Great stuff, Fizz, man. We appreciate it, brother.
Man, anytime. I wish you guys well. Take care of yourself.
You too.
All right, you too, man.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, let's get back. It's Jackie Robinson Day, Rob, in the Major League Baseball. The players all around the league today and tomorrow wearing the number 42. And we talked about it today. You and I co-hosted the Dan Patrick Show. That was a lot of fun. And
this
we
morning.
Talked about it how like the impact he had and has any athlete, you know, who else is in his class as far as the impact he had? I think, Rob, just by, look, someone was going to break the color barrier, and he was chosen.
Yep.
You know, he wasn't the best player in the Negro Leagues, but he was chosen because of his background and his, you know, demeanor, and they thought he could handle the racism that came his way and the things he had to deal with.
And Chris, a lot came his way. It was bad. It was crazy.
Terrible. Yeah. And so he was kind of put in that position, and you give him credit for being able to handle it, and not only handle it and get through it, but excel on the baseball field and do it with class and dignity. So I don't think you can point to an athlete that's had that impact in terms of society. But I also will say, as times progressed, you're not going to have an athlete probably to have that impact. There's just not even opportunity,
right?
For lack of a better
word.
Could do what he did, but it wasn't going to be, he didn't integrate sports. You know, LeBron can do what he's doing, but they're not integrating sports. So you probably can't equal what Jackie Robinson did.
No, but you could still have impact, right? On the society, oh, yeah. Chris, on your people. I think from what I said to you this morning, when I think of Muhammad Ali, it was more about black pride,
right,
and black power. That's what, you know, he made it. He was unapologetic about being black.
Right?
In a time where, you know, you couldn't be loud and you couldn't be, you know, say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud, right? That was a song.
Right.
He
personified
that, Chris. And that's
absolutely
what people loved about him, is that he wasn't going to kowtow, wasn't going to, not
he was,
be who
yeah,
he
right.
was.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And I said this morning, it's interesting because certain black athletes are the embodiment of segments of black culture, and they bring that into the mainstream. This guy's not on their level as far as impact off the court, but Allen Iverson was the embodiment of hip-hop culture, and he brought that to the NBA and mainstream sports. Jackie Robinson, Rob, I say the embodiment of Martin Luther King and the civil rights movement in sports. Turned the other cheek, didn't, you know, he responded to evil with good, you know, he took it, and it was like the civil rights movement all wrapped up into Jackie Robinson in sports. And to your point, Muhammad Ali was like the embodiment of Malcolm X in sports. Like, Martin Luther King got laws changed. Jackie Robinson essentially got laws changed in the world of sports. Malcolm X didn't get any laws changed or anything like that. There are not a ton of tangible things you point to. What he did was fill black people with pride.
Yep.
And
empowerment.
He made you proud to be black. And he was unashamedly and unabashedly black. And that's what Muhammad Ali was. You know, I'm just as good as anybody else.
Period.
And I'm better than anybody
yep.
else. Like, that was the mentality. And so I think that's really, Jackie Robinson was like Martin Luther King in the world of sports, and Muhammad Ali was like Malcolm X.
And we'd like to hear from you about just athletes and impact on this very special day, Jackie Robinson Day, April 15th, 1947. Think about that, Chris. Almost 20 years before the civil rights. And you know how bad people were treated in the 60s. So think about 1947, what America was like. If you have not seen the movie 42, you got to see that movie. I had tears in my eyes, Chris, in the theater, because it's tough to watch.
Right.
It's tough to see what he went through to do this, and not just for himself, which of course he was a ball player and wanted to win and play Major League Baseball, but man, what a burden to have to carry, Chris, and be
That's
able to excel.
Burden.
It
right.
really is. Can you imagine everybody? And then imagine had Chris, he was a failure. They can't play. Blacks can't play in the major leagues.
Yep.
Imagine if he was batting .210 or .159,
right,
and he failed. What would have happened?
You know, there were a lot of people pulling for him to fail,
right?
In the league, in the stands, in it, maybe even in his own organization.
How about behind the plate, umpires? We don't know, Chris.
Yep. Right, right. all of a sudden the strike zone expands, and you know, when he's at bat, yeah. I mean, it's incredible the obstacles that he faced. Today, obviously, you got two athletes that people would look at as far as impact. LeBron, and I think LeBron's done great things. People might look at, you know, the Trayvon Martin hoodie photo that he and the Miami Heat took.
Right.
When what Trayvon Martin was murdered.
He wore the I Can't Breathe t-shirt.
Remember that? Of course, the More Than a Vote this past election cycle. But I think, Rob, beyond that, you and I remember in the 90s, I feel like it started in the 90s, Rob, when players had all these entourages.
Yep.
And, you know, a guy, a brother from the hood would make it to the league, and he's bringing three or four of his boys with him. And they just hanging out. And, you know, there's boys. They're not, I don't think, purposely sucking him dry of his money. But that is what happens to a lot, because you're paying for everything for them just to hang out and kick it with you and enjoy the NBA life with you.
It costs a lot of money, Chris, to hang with grown men. Seriously,
right.
Like,
put dudes in. I know players that were putting guys in the best hotels in the city for weeks at a time.
Right.
Buying them luxury cars like they're getting. And LeBron took it to another level and said, look, you my boys, but what I'm going to do is put you in position to become empowered. So now Rich Paul is arguably the most powerful agent in the NBA. Maverick Carter is a media mogul with Spring Hill Entertainment and Uninterrupted and all of that. Those guys will be powerful in their own right and established when LeBron James retires. And that, I think that's the blueprint, Rob, for what a lot of our young black athletes should be doing. If you make it to the league and you got your boys that you want to bring with you, put them in positions to empower themselves. What if you've got connections to Nike, get your boy a job at Nike or some other, you know, Coca-Cola, whoever it is, get him a job there if that's what they want. Your agent, have him work for your agent if he's interested in that.
Learn the business, the game.
Yes. Right. Or pay for him to go to college. Real talk. You got 5 years, you got 6 years to graduate, come out, and I'll make sure you working for me or as a manager or whatever, or I'll help you get a gig somewhere else. Or you just in position now to do what you want to do. But I think LeBron has done that, and you're seeing some guys follow it, but I really think that that's what a lot of these African-American athletes should be looking to do, is follow that blueprint from LeBron. So I think he's had a great impact in that regard, Rob.
Yes, I agree with that. And that's a different kind of impact, but an impact. And
right.
That's what we're talking about, athletes who have made an impact. I think Michael Jordan is the other guy you wanted to bring up, Chris?
Well, I was going to say Kaepernick.
Oh, Kaepernick. No, you're right. Because Mike, you know, and obviously
Michael
being
had
an owner.
Yeah,
and his own brand, that sneaker, and where it is. When you think about that, he hasn't played in, what, 15 years? And he's still
more than that. What are you
cranking out?
2003, I think.
Is that what it was? Okay,
I think it was 2003.
But Kaepernick, Chris, is another guy who had impact as a guy who was a polarizing figure. But if you're really honest and think back to what he did when he did it, before the S hit the fan last year, Chris, in 2020, when people took to the streets and tore down Confederate statues and things, names changed, and they retired Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben. You know, like,
right,
really, you remember
right.
So much happened last
right.
year. But Kaepernick was trying to tell us 3 or 4 years earlier, and when you think about him putting his neck on the line from the standpoint of he wasn't a star quarterback, he was giving up his career for people he didn't know, Chris.
Absolutely.
We just saw the video, right, of the kid. What was it, 13-year-old kid in Chicago? How many times we got to watch that? Did you see
it? Right. Yeah.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah. Yep.
That's what he was talking about. And he was castrated. He was vilified. Whatever you want to say, and had his job stripped from him, and people made him out to be enemy number one.
Right.
He was trying to make a difference for people he didn't even know. How many people are willing, Chris, to give up something for somebody you don't know. You give up your right or left arm, Chris, for your family. We all would, right?
Absolutely.
Or your cousins.
Right.
But for somebody you don't know, that's a special person.
And he could have just lived it up. I mean, and yeah, okay, he's got money. Nike gave him the deal, so he's not poor. But he still could have just lived it up as an NFL player, making all that money, not worried about what's going on with African-Americans in the streets and stuff like that. He didn't even grow up in the streets. He was adopted by a white family. But he did make that sacrifice. And, Rob, a lot of people criticized him and said, oh, this was just to be relevant. This, you know, he wasn't
so
starting
ridiculous.
Anymore. To me, Rob, it took more courage to do it when he did as a bench warmer, as a second stringer, because he was expendable. Had he done it when he was at the top of his game, when Ron Jaworski said he was going to, what did he say, going to be the best quarterback ever?
You remember that?
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
If he had done it then, he'd still be in the league. They would have been like, hey, he's doing what he wants to do, but as long as he's leading us to the Super Bowl and he's still a great quarterback, he can do what he wants to do. But he did it when he was expendable, and of course, he's out of the league. So I think it took more courage to do it when you were a second stringer who they could cut in a minute and nobody would think twice than if you're a star. If Russell Wilson did that, Rob.
They wouldn't cut him.
Right. Nothing's going to happen.